Okay, we're live. It's happening. We're doing it. We're going for it. Let's connect to all these different sources that I'm streaming to. I believe I'm on, I should be, Rumble, Facebook, and YouTube. So let's just have a little convo. Let's talk. It's Friday. There's a lot going on. Like, it just keeps coming, and it's just like, okay, it's just a lot. There's a lot happening, and it's only going to increase. I mean, we're in an election year. Nothing that happens is a coincidence. Nothing. Oh, my gosh. If you believe that, that's just so strange that that happened. That's just so, no, it's happening because we're in an election year, a presidential election year. So welcome. Welcome to Recap the Week with Conservative Mama. I am your host, Conservative Mama. People call me Rachel. That's my name, Rachel. And it's April 19th. I can't believe that we're already like over halfway done with April. I think they do say that as you get older, time goes faster. And I definitely believe that. I mean, it's when you're a kid, like somebody says, you got to wait. It's going to be like an hour. And you're like, somebody says we're going to be there and like, we're going to make the trip. We're going to go on the trip in a week. As a kid, you're like, no. But as an adult, it's like you blink and it's another year gone by. And that's how I feel. It's weird, right? Happy Friday, Long Island. Hey, V Cat, what's up? Anne, hello. Victoria on YouTube. How's everybody doing? Good. There's a lot to discuss. Okay. So this just broke this morning. I'm going to get right into it. Is that okay? Or should we chat? Should we welcome more people in? We can do that. I woke up this morning with a sore throat. I have no idea what's happening. Like, I just got over, and I'm a healthy person. Like, I don't get sick. I take a lot of vitamins. I'm a very healthy eater. I exercise. I don't know. But this last month has just been like, get over it. And I'm over it. So I'm drinking tea. If I start coughing, forgive me, please. Also, all my kids are home. So at any point in time, I could have one just walk in like, Mom, can I? It's so that could happen. So just be prepared for it or our dog. So that's where we're at. Okay. So, there's another New York in here. Diane, you guys, like I said last week, New York is like my state. I don't live there, but huge following from New York, which is just awesome. I love it. Okay. So this just happened this morning. Biden's administration's 1,577 page Title IX rule is out. And sure enough, they've turned the historic rule into a demand that women give up their spaces. So they redid Title IX, right? That like specifies men and women in sports and all that. Now the Biden administration, this is insane that they've done this, you guys. They have ruled that sex is now determined on gender identity and not on biological sex. This will force your daughters to be in locker rooms with men that enjoy being around women, would like to pretend to be women. And it really, you can't, okay, at this point, if you're a Democrat, you cannot say you support women. First of all, you guys can't even define what a woman is. Like, let's be honest. You can't even do that. So you can't say that you've got women's back or that you support women or anything like that, because now you're putting women in danger in sports. Like, how do we compete in sports at this point if you're competing against biological men? Like, honestly, it's like you're all for ridding the world of women's sports. And then you're also for putting women in very vulnerable situations with men in women's locker rooms, restrooms, and so forth, because the Biden administration has now pretty much executive ordered that sex is determined on your gender identity, how you identify. This is evil. This is wrong. This is so messed up. And this is the Democrats. So don't come at me saying you're pro-woman or you're for women or women's rights. You literally just tore up women's rights. You destroyed women's rights. That's what the Biden administration just did today. So save it. Save it. And good luck to all the women athletes out there. It's so wrong. What else do we have? You're forced to be in a locker room with men. I mean, this is insane. I cannot believe we're here as a society, right? Generations from now are going to look back on this time and be like, yeah, they like didn't know what a man was and what a woman was. Yeah, so messed up. It's going to be like when we look back on when there was slavery, how insane that was, how horrible that was. Same thing. We're going to look back and be like, yeah, that generation, like that time period, like they didn't know how to identify a female and a male. They didn't know what it was. And we're living it right now. It's crazy to me. Same with abortion. My goodness. Here we are. And to the Democrats out there, to the lefties, you're voting for the eradication of women's sports and pretty much women being able to be safe at all. I couldn't imagine having to change in front of a biological man just staring at me in the locker room. I mean, that's what we're putting our daughters in. Also, what is it saying? What else did I read? Also, it says like if it's making like let me read it. It's making like sexual misconduct. Like if any man is accused of anything. Like, let's say you have a son and some woman accuses him of something, totally lies about it. It automatically sides with the women, with the woman on this stuff. So it also puts men, real men, like biological men, in a bad situation as well. Let me see if I can find it. Another wild requirement is preferred pronouns are now mandated. Even the single use of the wrong pronoun can require discipline. So this is where I have a problem with this, because I don't know how the Biden administration is going to get around like forcing people to speak a certain way, because as a Christian, and I would use this as a defense immediately if someone told me that I had to refer to a man as a woman. I will not do that. I will not play with the pronouns. I'm not doing that. I'm not participating, and you can't force me. You can't force me, especially the government cannot force your speech, right? But hold on a second. I would argue that because I'm a Christian, and especially the book of James, very much gives authority to words. What you speak holds authority, holds worth, and you cannot affirm untruth, right? As a believer, you can't do that. Like as a Christian, if you're speaking out of two sides of your mouth, right? If you're speaking good and then speaking bad, like the Bible is very clear about what your words hold weight, basically. So what you speak as a Christian, if you believe in God's word, it does have authority, right? So as a Christian, and I would use my religious right here, my First Amendment right, take it to the Supreme Court if you have to, but you cannot affirm untruth. And as a Christian, a man is a man and a woman is a woman. So as a Christian, you cannot be forced to speak untruth, according to the book of James. Like, just get out the book of James and just read it. It's very clear on how you use your words. So as a Christian, I cannot, like, it literally goes against my faith. I cannot affirm something that is not. Like, I can't, because that is allowing government to supersede my faith and my accountability to God. So I cannot use your pronouns. I can't. If you're a man, you're a man. And I literally, according to my faith, I cannot speak what is not. I will not speak what is not. So hopefully there's Christians out there that realize, according to the book of James, you cannot affirm what is not. Like, you can't. If you're a believer, if you're a practicing Christian, right? I'm very careful about what I speak into existence. I do believe that my words hold weight. That's why the power of prayer is so incredible, because when you put weight on your words and when you begin to speak with authority in your prayer life, you do see miracles start to take place. You do see God move in an incredible way. I can testify to it. So you have to be very careful with what you speak. So you cannot have some lefty Lucy come around and say, you have to speak this. No, I don't. I'm a Christian, and what I affirm, it has to line up with my faith. So I'm very curious how the Biden administration is going to force people to speak a certain way and to affirm what is not. It's nuts, nuts. But here we are. So that just happened today. Lawsuits are already starting to take place. It's amazing. It's amazing that you would want, as a lefty, as a Democrat, as a Biden voter, supporter, you would want to endanger your daughters, your granddaughters in such a way. Help me understand it, man. I don't get it. I honestly don't get it. And to vote for the Democrats, to vote for leftists, is just, you're reaffirming that you're putting your sons even at risk of having some kind of accusation. And then suddenly, like, immediately it's the woman's word for it, which is just so strange to me, because they can't even define women. Like, these people, like, the crazies are running the show right now. And it's just, I still can't get over it. So, okay. So big news happened over just the last, 24 hours. Israel sent rockets, missiles, drones, whatever, into Iran and took out some of their very special facilities. It was tactically done. It was done in retaliation to what Iran did just last weekend with sending hundreds and hundreds of drone missiles and all that into Israel. Iran is saying, well, that's because you hit one of our facilities. Was it in Syria or something like that? And so they're in retaliation. And then Israel's like, well, that's in retaliation to October 7th, because we know that you're really behind all of this. Iran is. They're the head of the snake, right? So supposedly the Biden administration is not getting involved in any of this. I do believe Israel can take care of themselves. I'm not worried about this, but this has spun on a whole new thing now happening in the House, in the Senate, of Speaker Johnson being asked to vacate his seat. Right now, you can have a motion to vacate. He's House Speaker. You can have a motion to vacate with just one person, right? We saw Matt Gaetz do that with McCarthy just, what, like a year ago or less than a year ago. So you can have a motion to vacate, and you can literally oust the Speaker with just one person calling for a vote. And there's now debate whether this should be allowed or not allowed. Marjorie Taylor Greene is kind of heading this motion to vacate. She's over it. She's over Speaker Johnson not following through on his word. So now they're going back and forth on whether they should change the rules on whether you could have a motion to vacate. Well, this just happened because this is what's happening right now with Speaker Johnson. Speaker Johnson promised that if anyone gets funding, like Israel gets funding, Ukraine gets funding, we keep sending this money over to other countries, which is just like, listen, I am a huge supporter of Israel. Let's just clarify on that. Huge supporter of Israel. My faith definitely plays a huge factor in that. I'm going to be honest with you. Israel's all throughout the Bible. Israel's included in an eschatology. God has a real heart for the people of Israel. They're part of, like, all sorts of things that are to come. I do believe that God's promises are forever. They're everlasting. His promises to Abraham did not stop when the church came forth in the New Testament during Pentecost. None of that stopped. Like, God's promise and covenant are everlasting. So his promises to Israel are everlasting. That's what I believe. I also believe that as a country, America, we need to protect ourselves, right? We need to put Americans in America first, especially with what we're seeing happening at our border. We have thousands upon thousands of people pouring into our country, supported by the Biden administration. We have not properly vetted these people. We're seeing an increase in crime, an increase in fentanyl deaths, an increase in human trafficking. All of this happening because of our open border. Our border needs to be secured. Well, the left is like, yeah, we'll totally secure the border by providing more people to help get these people in. We need more border patrol, right? More people to process these people coming in. Nothing to secure the border, though, in any of the bills put forth. Nothing, nothing, nothing saying, hey, no more people are allowed in this country. We're securing the border, okay? It's just common sense to me. I have no idea why people are struggling with this. We need to secure the border. They don't want it secure because when the census is taking place, right, they don't count citizens and non-citizens. They just count people, right? So the Democrats want as many people here as possible. And then they have the census and then they get more congressional seats, right? It's all about authority. What's sick and messed up is it just exposes the Democrats could care less about you and your family, right? I mean, they just want power. So, excuse me, if we can get as many people in here as possible, we'll do it. And if we have to do it illegally, and if we have to endanger Americans to do it, we're going to do it. So that's what they're doing. Biden administration's all in on it, and that's what's going down. So previously, Speaker Johnson said, hey, we are not going to let, we're going to secure the border. Like with any additional funding, this is what he said, we're going to secure the border. Well, now it's like, well, we need to send money. We need to send money to these other countries. I read this morning. Where is it? So this just happened this morning with a vote. The House just voted overwhelmingly to advance the foreign aid bill to Ukraine, Israel, Taiwan, and Gaza. The vote was 316-94 with 165 Democrats and 151 Republicans voting yes. Up next, this is going to happen later today or possibly tomorrow, but I believe later today, there's going to be a separate vote on foreign aid to each nation, which then will be fused together in one package that will be sent to the Senate in a procedural vote known as MIRV. No border security has been included in these. No amendments, just Republican leadership working with the Democrats on this. And like, let's be honest, this could greatly escalate. What happened with Israel, what's happening with Israel could escalate exponentially. Okay, because like now we're dealing with Iran, who does have the potential for possibly nuclear weapons. They say they don't. They say they do. Whatever. Okay. We don't know what we're dealing with Iran. These people chant death to America, and they want Israel wiped off the face of the planet. This could escalate because now Israel's just hit them. Will Iran retaliate? Does that now, will Russia get involved? We know that Russia often is an ally to Iran. Will Russia get involved? Will China get involved? Like this could literally just blow up quickly, okay, which is terrifying. And we've got the whole stuff happening with Ukraine, all the shady stuff with Ukraine. I'm so over us sending money to Ukraine, especially with the other NATO countries, especially in Europe, not doing their part. They're not giving money. It's all put on America. While our border is open and while we have veterans living on the streets, like this is insane. Plus we don't have the money. Like we're trillions and trillions of dollars in debt. It's like we're acting like we have so much cash just to go around when we don't. So I think no money should be sent to anyone. Like that's just my own personal opinion. I think that Israel can take care of themselves. If this thing escalates, then we might need to have another conversation at some point because we do need Israel as an ally in the Middle East. They've always been an ally to us. They are, they're stable. There's stability over there. In the midst of all these other countries saying, hey, we want to destroy America, death to America, Israel is our friend, always has been, and we need to keep it cool with Israel. I believe that. Okay. Also, my faith plays a whole huge role in why I believe and support Israel. Now, I don't even think Israel's asked us for money. I don't. I've never seen anything that Israel in the middle of all this is like, hey, could you send us some cash? They haven't. Okay. And if they have, let me know about it, because I haven't seen anything like that. But still, we're like, let's give our money out. Let's give Israel, you want some money? Hey, Ukraine, you want some? Taiwan? Yeah, Gaza. Like, it's nuts. Stop it. Okay. We need to stop it. Plus, funding this stuff perpetuates war, right? Like, if you don't have money for war, you can't do war. It's like, okay, we don't have any money. We don't have any money to do war, so we're just not going to have a war. Like, that's the best option. Like, why are we funding war? Why? So those are my thoughts on all of that. And we'll see what happens with Speaker Johnson. I do want to say this. I know that a lot of people are speaking negatively of Speaker Johnson. I don't know him. But I do know people that I follow that do deeply respect him. I think, like, if I was to analyze this, like, just get inside this guy's head, I think that being a Christian, as he says he is, that his love for Israel and wanting to support Israel is overriding a lot of this. Like, I think that he's like, hey, we'll send money to Ukraine if we have to. Okay, you guys don't want to secure the border quite yet. That's fine. We just need to get money to Israel. We need to help Israel. And I think that that is superseding a lot of other things for him right now, if I had to guess, okay? Which is not necessarily good, being that I don't think Israel's asked us for money. Like, I don't. So that's what I think is going on with him. That's just my own guess, not to say that I have any insight, knowledge, or, you know, secret intel. But if I had to guess, that's what I would guess. So that's my thought on that. And we'll see how this goes. I mean, they could literally oust him. Then we're in trouble, because this is the plan. This is the thing. If they do oust Speaker Johnson, okay, let's just say, you're out of here, like, vacate him, we could very easily have a Hakeem Jeffries Speaker of the House, because our majority is so slim right now. And you could have some rhino, I hate using that term because it's so overused and so, ugh, or establishment Republicans. You could have some of these guys vote, just saying, we're over the drama, we're voting for Hakeem Jeffries, and that would be horrible. So if you're going to vacate the speaker, you need to have someone lined up, and you know this person has the votes. Otherwise, it's just a foolish decision. It really is, and it puts us in a very compromising position. So those are my thoughts on that. VCAT said, I believe Johnson is a good guy. I think he's a good guy. I think that like I said, I think that he's willing to do a lot of things to protect Israel. And sometimes I believe if Israel is like, hey, we really need you, then that's a different situation. They haven't said anything. Like, they're handling it. They're like, we've got this. So we should take care of ourselves, just like Israel's taking care of themselves. We should be like, hey, let's secure this border. Let's stop just funding pointless wars. Let's try to de-escalate this situation instead of escalate it, because I don't know, we want to live. Like, that's just, and let's put America first, because America, when America is first, the rest of the world is in a better situation, guys. Like, when America is thriving and leading and doing well, and Americans are doing well, the rest of the world, like, that really does influence the rest of the globe. And you can see what weak leadership does. I mean, look at what has happened since Biden has taken over, how we have suddenly become like a hot mess. This is what happens when you have poor leadership. This is what happens. I mean, look at all the Ukraine and Russia and Taiwan and China circling Taiwan and Israel, Iran and Gaza. And it's just like Hamas and Hezbollah and North Korea firing rockets. It's like, it's gotten crazy because these people do not respect our current leadership. That's what's happened. So we need strong leaders to show peace through strength, right? I mean, that was working for us. That was working. Whether you would acknowledge it or not, under Trump, we didn't have any of this junk going on. We didn't. There was no new uprisings, no new drama. It was the media created drama. But as far as the world stage, like, we were in a good place. So anyways, okay, quickly moving on. Trump trials, hush money has started. They're picking the jury. I think they've got the 12 jurors have been seated so far with new additions. A man who works for an investment banking and a security engineer. I have some of the jurors. I would like to know your thoughts on whether these guys are going to swing. So all 12 jurors plus an alternate were selected this week. So they're good to go on this trial. This trial is about whether Trump misused campaign funds to tell Stormy Daniels quiet, right? Like, it's a whole, like, did he misuse the funds kind of a thing. And the prosecutors and defense team has whittled down a pool of nearly 200 people into 12 jurors and an alternate, grilling them on history, political views, social media, etc. And here is a tweet, a quick description of these jurors. And I'm always like, and these are shorts. You can't get a feel on it, but I could tell you, like, who's definitely anti-Trump, who's not. So, juror number one is a man who lives in Western Harlem and works in sales. He is married, likes to do anything outdoorsy, and gets his news from New York Times, Fox News, and MSNBC. So when they say that, like, I kind of think, like, are you just saying that? Like, are you really reading New York Times and then going over to Fox News? So I don't know. So that's juror number one. Juror number two. He's a man that works in investment banking, follows Twitter as well as Truth Social posts from Trump, and said, "I don't have any beliefs that might prevent me from being a fair or impartial." This is where I struggle. I feel like at this point in time, like, just in our world and our current situation, climate that we're in, everybody has an opinion on Trump, right? Like, I have people I know that you say Trump, you mention Trump, and these people, like, lose it. They can't even, like, something happens to them, like, convulsing. Like, it's like, calm down. I just mentioned his name. They can't handle it. So I have a hard time believing that you're going to find anybody that doesn't have an opinion or that's impartial on Trump. But this guy says he is. Okay, juror number three, a young man who has lived in Chelsea for 5 years, works as an attorney in corporate law, and likes to hike and run. He gets his news from New York Times, The Wall Street Journal, and Google. I got nothing with this guy. I don't know. What do you guys think? Nothing? Okay. Juror number four, a man who is a security engineer and likes woodworking and metalworking. Now, this one might, right? He might be impartial or might slightly have some empathy for Trump. He likes woodworking. So he's a little bit more manly, maybe, right? And metalworking. So that's a little bit more, okay. He's not, you know, a beta male is what you would say. Maybe a little bit more alpha might lean towards Trump. And all you need is one, you guys. Remember that. We just need one juror to be like, no, I can't convict him. So juror number five is a young woman who is a Harlem resident and works as a teacher. So that's, to me, is automatically like, no. Most of the people that are in education, I found, have an agenda. She lives with her boyfriend, loves writing, theater, and travel. Just so you know, I have a background in theater, and I'll tell you, I was probably the only person that I ever was hanging out when I was hanging out with people in theater that had any kind of conservative views, like, at all. Theater is, it attracts the very far left, I'll tell you that. And traveling. She gets her news from Google, TikTok, and listens to podcasts on relationships and pop culture. So I think juror number five is definitely, she's a no on Trump. Juror number six, a woman who lives in Chelsea and works as a software engineer. She gets her news from the New York Times, Google, Facebook, and TikTok. Automatically, that's a no for me. New York Times, Google, Facebook, and TikTok. So that's a no for me. Okay, juror number 7. A man who lives on the Upper East Side and works as an attorney as a civil litigator. He enjoys spending time in the outdoors and gets his news from the New York Times, Wall Street Journal, the New York Post, that's a possibility, and the Washington Post. Okay, New York Post is a little bit more, you know, I don't know. What do you guys think? I don't know. Juror number 8, a man who retired but works for a major wealth manager. He said he enjoys skiing, fishing, fly fishing. Fly fishing is good, but then he also says he likes yoga, so that throws me off. Okay, juror number 9, a woman who is a speech therapist gets her news from CNN and likes reality TV and podcasts. That's an automatic no for me. Juror 10, a man who works in commerce, reads the New York Times and listens to podcasts and on behavioral psychology. No, that's a no for me. Juror number 11, a woman who works as a product development manager and watches late night news and reads Google business and fashion news. Probably no. And juror number 12, a woman who is a physical therapist who likes running and tennis and listens to podcasts on sports and faith. Faith, that's a possibility. So we'll see if she's got some faith, then what kind of faith is it? That's my question. And the alternate is a woman who works as an asset manager and likes to run, hang out with her friends, and eat. Okay, so that's it. The question to me is, are some of these women married? Because if they're married, then you might have a shot with them. If they're not married, they're probably a no on Trump. You get these single women that just... they rage, man. They rage. They rage when you hear, they hear Trump, they rage. They're just, they're radicalized. And also, are they college educated? Because if you're college educated single woman, most likely these ladies are a no on Trump. Sadly, that's just the truth. So that's what's happening there. We'll see how that develops. Also, Mayorkas was not impeached in the Senate. So he was impeached in the House, if you guys remember that, a couple of months back. And then it went over to the Senate. The Senate basically shut it down. Democrats voted to rule both impeachment articles unconstitutional because they did not rise to the level of high crimes and misdemeanors. So that's just crazy. I don't know how you can't convict this guy that's literally let millions and millions of people into our country who are now killing Americans, doing horrible things, vile things to Americans. And you don't think that this has reached high crimes and misdemeanors. I mean, it's clearly obvious that the agenda here is not to protect Americans, not to put Americans first, to put Americans in danger in order to increase your population, in order to get congressional seats. That's what this Mayorkas dude has done. And the Senate doesn't believe that he's created high crimes and misdemeanors. I thought that was really great. It's a video of Hawley just pretty much calling him out. And I wanted to show you this really quick. So here you go.
Get this. In November, punched. Nothing is done to this guy. He had a criminal record to start with. He's in the country on illegal grounds. You have falsely and illegally allowed him in. He commits a crime against a child. He's not prosecuted. It's expunged. In November, get this. In November, Ibarra files an application for employment authorization. And unbelievably, on December the 9th, 2023, it's approved. So this is your policies in action, Mr. Secretary. A criminal is permitted into this country on grounds flatly not permitted, flatly contradictory to the statute. He commits a crime against a child, and then he gets a work permit. He gets a work permit. You want to know why all of the jobs in the last 2 or 3 years have gone to illegal migrants? Working people in this country can't get a job. Their unemployment rate's high. Why? Because of things like this. And then what's he do? Well, we all know. Then in February, he commits the heinous crime against Lake and Riley. Is this a record that you are proud of?
Senator... You've misstated some facts.
I have read from the parole file, which you have said you don't recall, don't have, you miscited. I'm reading from it. It is right here. And I've just, pursuant to the speech and debate clause, I have just read it into the record. And the reason is, you have lied repeatedly to Congress and to the American people about this. They deserve to know. And the only way they're going to know is if I tell them. I've just told them. It's in the record now. I've read it verbatim from the parole file. Verbatim. I just want to know, why did you change your story so often? Why didn't you just answer honestly to Congressman Bishop and Senator Britt?
Senator, I am confident that justice will be vindicated in the criminal prosecution of the case.
Well, hopefully he'll get more of a trial than you got. Otherwise, there'll be no justice for anyone at all.
Unbelievable. Like, it really is unbelievable that this guy, the Senate, couldn't find him on high crimes and misdemeanors. I mean, there are people that are dead because of this guy's decisions, his refusal to secure our border, Americans that are dead. Like, that should do it. If you ask me, that should do it. Also, I feel like this, I saw this video earlier, I think I saw it yesterday, with all of these Palestinian protests you're seeing, like, all over the country, and especially with what happened with Iran just recently, and Israel. And this video just, it gives a glimpse at the left. It gives a glimpse of how far extreme and anti-America this leftist Democrat party has become. When this reporter is asking AOC, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, and another congresswoman, Porter, can they say that chanting death to America and condemning America is wrong? And these women can't. These women refuse to. So watch this. And it just shows you, like, well, this is just so what I love in a way is because God makes things so clear. He's trying to make it so clear. Like, if you're voting for this party, you're cool with chance to death to America. Like, that's where you're at. And here we are. So here, watch this.
Anti-Israel protesters blocking the Brooklyn Bridge were burning the American flag and chanting death to America. Do you support that type of protest? Do you support burning the American flag and chanting death to America? Does it sound like this is pro-Palestinian or anti-American if they're burning American flags and chanting death to America?
I'm not privy to I haven't seen these reports. I'd have to check for them myself.
Anti-Israel protesters blocking the Brooklyn Bridge burned the American flag and chanted death to America. Do you condemn this type of rhetoric?
We've got to get her on to her next event here.
Are you okay with people burning the American flag?
If you'd like to follow up with us. So.
Are you okay with people chanting death to America?
Sorry, we've got to head into...
Congresswoman Porter, are you okay with people chanting death to America? Is it okay? Do you not have a problem with it?
Happy to reach out here.
No comment. They have no comment, you guys. Like, I have a problem with people chanting death to America. Now, is free speech allow that? Yes, but I personally have a major issue with people chanting death to America. Is it that hard? Is it that hard to say? Because clearly these ladies had a very difficult time not being able to say, yeah, chanting death to America is wrong, especially because I'm an American. I love this country. I'm a representative in Congress, and I believe in putting America and America's interests first. And the fact that these people are chanting death to America, yeah, I have a real issue with that. It's not that hard, but here we are, right? Here we are. If you're voting left, if you're voting for Democrats, you support this. This is what you support. You support chance death to America. That's where we're at, you know? That's where we're at. So they don't, yeah, like someone said, they don't want to get their fan base upset. That's right. Because the fan base is the far left anti, they hate America, you guys. We have so many people in this country that hate this country, that want to fundamentally change it, that are trying to destroy our country. A lot of these people are in Congress. It's nuts. So, okay. Oh, and this I just found so convenient. Okay, I'm wrapping up here pretty soon. But just recently, the FBI director, Chris Wray, said that Chinese hackers are set to launch an attack on the U.S. And I personally find it extremely convenient that this just so could happen in an election year, right? The Chinese hackers are going to attack us and they're going to hack our stuff. And we just happen to be in a presidential election year. Like, how convenient is that? So here's Chris Ray warning America.
Events in the Middle East, our most immediate concern has been that individuals or small groups will draw some kind of twisted inspiration from the events in the Middle East to carry out attacks here at home. But now, increasingly concerning, is the potential for a coordinated attack here in the homeland, akin to the ISIS-K attack we saw at the Russia concert hall just a couple weeks ago.
Oh, so get ready. That's basically what he's saying. And to me, because I'm such a skeptic, I'm such a skeptic of our government, you guys, that it's gotten so bad. Like, I don't trust them. I don't trust them. I don't, especially after what happened with COVID. Like, so here we have the FBI director just saying, hey, it's a presidential election year and Chinese hackers could hack us. It could be bad. It could be really bad. I'm just letting you know. You guys can put that together if you'd like on my real thoughts on that. But on a happier note, but not really a happy note, but just a more exposure of the biased media. I did a satire earlier this week to point out how media covered Trump taking a nap. I guess he took a nap. He took a nap. I mean, who hasn't taken a nap in the middle of the day, right? He took a nap. He got tired. He was in the courtroom and listening to absolute bogus trial. And he closed his eyes for a second, right? We have watched over the course of this last 4 years of Biden constantly taking naps. Like, the guy is all, he looks like he's sleepwalking. Like, half the time I see him, I don't even think he doesn't even know where he is. Okay. But the media doesn't cover it that way. The media covers it as he's just working so hard for us. But if it's Trump, it's, oh my gosh, this is terrible. This is horrible. So here's the latest satire. Enjoy.
Okay. I think we have a picture. Yeah, we have a picture. Okay. There it is. There it is. He's sleeping. I have no words for this. None. He's too tired to stay awake. So he's sleeping. I can't believe this is happening. But here we are. Here we are. You know, it makes me mad. I don't know why, but I'm angry for this. I'm angry. I mean, to me, this clearly shows that he's too old. Too old for the job. We should call him something. We should call him a sleepy Dawn. Sleepy Dawn. Oh, that's a good one. I don't think people are taking this as seriously as they should. He fell asleep, okay, in the middle of the day. We probably should go to commercial because the things I want to say right now. The things I want to say. Oh, and this just in. Oh, Biden. President Biden was at a summit earlier today and took a little siesta, which is it's just so cute. You know, he's working so hard for us. And when I see this, I'm just touched by how much he gives to this job for all of us. You know, it's just... And here is President Biden talking with Prime Minister Bennett from Israel. Look at him. Now, he is not sleeping here. It might look like he's closing his eyes just a little bit, but that's just the angle of the cameras. And even if he did take a little shut eye, there is nothing wrong with that. It's just so precious to see him working so hard for the American people.
He's working so hard for the American people, you guys. So hard. I mean, if you're paying attention, you see it. It's obvious. The bias. It's like, and I was just watching the coverage on this Trump nap. And I was like, are you kidding me? Like, I've had to watch Biden take multiple naps over the last 4 years. And not a word. Not a word. So that inspired me to make that little piece. Most of you probably have not seen it since I'm so heavily censored across the board right now on everything. I have no idea what's going on, but it's an election year, right? So they're like, just shut her down. Shut her down. Don't let anyone see the satire, because I do believe that, I'm going to be honest with you, I feel like satire is so underused by conservatives. I feel like it does move the needle. That's like my passion, is creating material that gets that person in the middle to think, okay, maybe there's something there. Okay, I'm listening. What do you got? And that's what we need. In order to win, we have to get the middle, right? And I believe that comedy, I believe that satire, I believe that parody needs to be used by the right in order to get the middle. And just pointing out the bias there, maybe that will cause someone to say, okay, yeah, then maybe they are a little biased. And then if you start to think, maybe they are a little biased, well, what else have they been biased on? And then you start to think. And once you start thinking and you start researching and you start really trying to question what you're being told, that's when you wake up. That's when people wake up. That's what we need. We need people to wake up. Once you wake up, you never go back to sleep. You don't. You're like, okay, now I know. And once you know what's really happening, there's this passion that arises in you to tell others, hey, did you know this? Did you know this was happening? Did you know that our government's doing this? Did you know that they did this? Did you know? And you start to wake up and wake others up. And that's what I'm a huge advocate for. That's what I believe in. So, and with that, I will plug my Patreon, because I'm being so heavily censored on these social media sites, I do need support. I need support on my Patreon, and I've had some recent new supporters come on board and support me there, because I do feel like we got to reach the middle, guys. We got to reach the middle. That's what I'm about. So hopefully, if you want to support me, I would love that. As I wrap up this little segment here, I can drop my support, my link in the comments. And I never have this on like prepared, which is just horrible, because I'm like, yeah, you guys should support me. And then I can't find the link to support me. So I'll drop it in at some point. Let me see if I can find it. Let's see here. I can't find it. I don't know. I can't find it, but I'll drop it in if I can find it at some point. But I appreciate your support. Oh, I just got a little boost from, is it Karma on YouTube? Thank you. Super awesome. Super chat. Super sticker. Yes. I love it. So yeah, I need your support, because I do believe that even if I can't get the message out, you guys can take my videos, subscribe to my YouTube channel, my Rumble channel. I'm on X, and share them, because we got to reach the middle. That's my heart's desire, really. So that's pretty much it for this week. I'm sure since I've been on, more things have happened, because that's just how it goes. It's endless right now, especially during an election year, presidential election year. It's constant. But just know that nothing is a coincidence at all. And I do pray that a lot of this tension in the Middle East, tension across our globe dissipates, that we don't escalate it. And for strength for those that are in leadership right now to make the right decisions. So, all right, you guys, God bless you. Have a wonderful weekend. And I'm thankful for you guys. All right. We'll talk soon. Bye, guys.